Take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Job. The book of Job. It's spelled just like Job. Everybody needs a job, and everybody needs the book of Job, don't they? Amen. And I want to bring a message today. It may be a little bit different, but it's what the Lord's got on my heart. I began to look at it yesterday afternoon. The Lord began to develop it, and then even through the morning, I've learned more things about the subject. The Bible said in Job chapter number 38 and verse number 22, the Word of God said, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" I'll read that again. "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for the privilege to be here at Bible Way. Lord, for each one of the children that are here today, each mom and dad, and all of our folks, Lord, that have just been so faithful, God. And Lord, we just pray you continue to bless. And Lord, I pray you just, Lord, to help us in this service, Lord. I know the time is unusual, but it's still the Lord's day. And Lord, we've gathered in your house today. God, I'm so glad we didn't call off all the services today. I'm glad, Lord, you give us this time to gather together. I pray, Father, that you'll keep our families safe. And Lord, at times the roads are slick. And Lord, we've seen people in accidents and different things. And God, we just pray you'd keep your arms of protection around us and help us. God, I pray as we look into this message today, God, that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, our Father, to glean from the Word of God. God will give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I need to mention this too. I believe there's some folks here in our church that are praying about it. But I'm going to open the doors of the church again this morning at the end of the service. I did that last Sunday morning. And God's impressed upon your heart to join up with us here at Bible Way. Then we would love for you to do that. Amen. And be much in prayer about that. "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" I'd like to talk about the treasures of the snow for just a little while. And sometimes when I preach, I like to just think along the lines of the natural realm when I start out. And why would anybody call snow a treasure? Well, I'll tell you what, if you're in school, it's a treasure because you get to stay home. Say amen. Down there in Hawkins County, there's places in that mountain down there on 70 that don't thaw out for 10 days after the rest of it's thawed out. So they have one little skiff in the snow, and they're liable to be out of school 4 or 5 days over it. Amen. So it's a treasure to them because it gets them out of school. And it's a treasure sometimes because they like to play in it. I think it was Jessie a while ago. Where you at, Jessie? Wave at me, honey. Where's she at? Oh, there she is. I was asking Jessie if she'd been out sled riding, and you told me you had, didn't you, honey? She was trying to explain to me what kind of sled she had. She said it had a rope on it, amen? I wanted to know if it had them things like ours had on it where you could steer it. You push it that way, go that way, and push it that way, and sometimes you push it as hard as you can, and you still go through the fence, amen? And but I like the snow, and it, sometimes it's a treasure. If you go around Kingsport in the morning to the body shops, the people that work on cars, it's a treasure to them, amen, because I'm telling you, they're going to have a lot of work to do this week, amen, because of slick roads and driveways. My wife and I passed somebody on Chadwell a while ago trying to get up a driveway. It went just like that, and it was all over the place, amen. They was in the ditch, and somebody was trying to help them out. But there's different reasons why you would call it a treasure. But I've got five things on my heart today, and I want to look at it from a scriptural avenue and then from the scientific avenue as well and talk about the treasures of the snow. Number one this morning, I want to look at the provider of the snow. You know who give us the snow? The same God that give us
The Lord Jesus, amen, gives us the snow. The same God that gives us the sunshine gives us the snow. The same God that lets us live once in a while on the mountain, He gives us the snow, even down in the valley. And so it could be called a treasure just because of where it comes from. In Job 37 in verse 6, the Bible said, "For He saith to the snow," He is God, "He saith to the snow, be thou on earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of His strength." In other words, God knows what we need, and God gives us what we need. Now, you'll understand that a little bit later in the message, a little bit more a little later in the message. In Psalm 147 and verse 16, the Bible said, "He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes." How many's ever scattered ashes? Amen. How many's ever thrown them over the fence when the wind was blowing the wrong way? Amen. The ashes don't just go on the ground. Amen. At one time, somebody asked me there where we live, said, "How come sometimes you throw them over that fence? And how come sometimes you throw them over that fence?" And I say, "Well, it just depends on which way the wind is blowing." Amen. You only throw them in the wind wrong one time, and you never forget it. Amen. And so the Bible talks about God scattering out the hoarfrost, and God gives the snow like wool. Amen. And God is the one that gives it to us. The Word of God said, listen, I know that everybody won't agree with me, but we ought to look at the snow like a treasure. We ought to look at it like a gift that comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. I believe sometimes we get into the spring season and it rains and it rains and it rains some more. And sometimes I run into somebody that's griping. And I try to remind them that in July we will be glad for what we're getting right now. Amen, for the rain. And so when God gives the snow, if we're going to look at it as a treasure, we got to look at it who gave it to us. Amen. Can I tell you something right now? You can, my friend, sometimes just get a blessing. It may not be the biggest gift in the world or the most expensive gift in the world, but if you'll just, my friend, concentrate on who gave it to you, it'll bless your heart. Amen. And God give us the snow. So we look at the provider of the snow. Let me go on in the message this afternoon. That's hard to say. You're usually saying this morning or this evening. Amen. Of course, y'all know me. I rarely get done in the morning. Amen. I start in the morning most of the time, but rarely get done in the morning. It's usually afternoon anyhow. Let's look secondly at the purpose of the snow. The Bible is telling us here that this snow is a treasure. We look at the one that provides it. That makes it a treasure. When we begin to get a little inkling about the purpose of the snow, we will see the treasure in the purpose as well. The snow takes that which is from above and makes it a blessing to that which is below. The snow takes that which is from above and makes it a blessing to that which is below. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, I looked this up. A snowflake, does anybody know how it begins? The Bible tells us here it's a treasure. And if we begin to study it a little, we'll understand the treasure. A snowflake begins to form when an extremely cold water deposit freezes onto pollen or a dust particle in the sky. You'll get a hold of this in a minute. Amen. And God takes that that's above and lets it fall down here and be a blessing, amen, to us here on the earth. The Bible, the definition here, it creates an ice crystal, and the ice crystal falls to the ground. The water vapor freezes onto the primary crystal, building new crystals, and it gives you the six arms of a snowflake. I'm telling you that God has a purpose in the snow. God wants that that's up yonder to fall down here and be a blessing to you and to me and to all of us. Amen. God might want us to be a little bit more like snowflakes. Say amen. A speck of dust. Amen. That God puts a surrounding around and makes it beautiful and lets us be a blessing to others as we walk the face of this earth. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 13, the Bible said, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. Scientists tell us that snow, it picks up nitrogen in the air. And when it is formed, it dispenses it upon the earth as it melts. It aids highly the productivity of the ground. The snow makes an impact. It has an influence. And I believe God wants you and I to have an impact in this world and have an influence on those that are around us. Amen. The purpose of the snow. Think about this. About 20% of the world's land mass is covered permanently by snow. In the northern hemisphere, 40% is covered by snow. Fresh snow falls one out of every 4 square miles of dry land each year. You see, that's why people move to Florida. That's that other three in that. Say amen where it don't fall. Amen. But on 1 out of 4 square miles, fresh snow falls each year. 1/3 of the world's water used for irrigation. Think about that. 1/3 of the world's water used for irrigation comes from snow. And in the western United States, 75% of the water in those rivers comes from snow. I'm telling you, God wants us to understand it's a treasure and we couldn't make it without it. Amen. No wonder he said to Job, hast thou considered here? Hast thou considered in verse 22, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? You say, preacher, I don't know what irrigation has to do with anything in the purpose. How many believes it's a dry land? Amen. You know what God said? God said, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. You know what God wants you and I to be? A drink of living water. Say amen. To somebody that's thirsty, he wants us to be a blessing. There's a purpose in the snow. I see the provider of the snow. Let me give you this. This will help you. I want you to see the purification of the snow, or the purifying properties of the snow as it falls down. You know, there's some cities in the world, especially in China. I've been told recently, or as I watched the news recently, that the pollution is absolutely terrible in China. And I know that even in the United States of America, there used to be some cities that were very, very, very polluted. And the atmosphere was polluted and all of that. And even that looked like ash on the cars from the factories and all. But there's a purification property about the snow that I want to look at for just a minute. In Isaiah 1:18, the Word of God said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You say, preacher, what happens when that little speck of dust begins to be surrounded by that water crystal as it falls? It has a cleansing agent about it. Amen. To clean the air and to clean the atmosphere. That's why if you pay attention, they tell you to never eat the first snow. Say amen right there. I'm not sure if you ought to eat the second in this generation. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's cleaning a lot of stuff out of the air. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with us. Let me just give you something. David said it like this. He said, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I don't know how the equation works. I just know it works. God takes a man's heart that's blackened with sin, washes it in red blood, and it comes out white as snow every time. Amen. I thought about this. I read this year's ago, and it's the truth. It said this, even an old junkyard is beautiful under a snow. Hallelujah. Think about that. You say, preacher, I'm just a good old boy. I've always been a good old boy. I want you to know there's some junkyards in the building that God covered. Amen. And thank God made something out of them. Because of the snow, my friend, he cleansed us by the blood and made us as white as the driven snow. Hallelujah. I right over here in East Carter's Valley, the lady's name was Debbie Ryans. And her papaw owned a piece of property. He was a sawmill man. The old sawmill was still sitting there. I wish I could remember his name. I'd tell you. But if you go across Brother Bob, where you live? Where you at, Brother Bob? You back there? Did he leave me? There he changed seats on me. Amen. Brother Bob, you go across that way when you come out what road, East Carter's Valley. When you come out right there at that store, if you just go straight across, you go back in there to that farm that I'm talking about. I'm telling you, the mountains are just like that, straight up and down. I asked that man, he cut timber all over that place. I said, brother, and this man was up close to 90 years old. He loved the fellowship, loved to talk about Jesus, and he loved to chew tobacco. Amen. Hey, some people tell you why he wasn't even saved. Let them say whatever they want to. I can talk to him 5 minutes. He convinced me he's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I asked him, I said, brother, how in the world did you cut timber all over this mountain and one leg not be shorter than the other? He said, oh, preacher, he said, that's easy. He said, when you get out yonder, just turn around and come back. Amen. That's what he said. I said, I believe you cut timber up here the years you have one leg could be shorter than the other. He said, preacher, what's this got to do with anything? I was up in a tree, Brother Fred. I was up in a tree early one morning before it ever broke daylight. You say, what was you doing up in the tree? How many knows what I was doing up in the tree? He'd been paying attention. Amen. I was up in a tree. I was waiting on it to crack daylight. And it was one of those days, Sister Jennifer, when it was about 40 degrees when the day started. And I'm telling you, that's just right for a deer hunter. My goodness, that's warm. You about to sweat in 40 degree weather. That's pretty warm. But it's one of them days, as the day went on, I knew it was going to be a good day because a front was coming through. It was supposed to snow. It was supposed to get cold. He said, why would you want to be out there? Because that's when everything moves. And it's good just to be there waiting on them to move. Amen. I got me a buck that day. I really did. Amen. But as I sat there and watched throughout the day, I noticed something. You see, if you'll pay attention, God will let you notice something. There in the roadway below me, Brother Mike, was a mud puddle. It was, brother. That's all it was when the day started, was a mud puddle. But you know what? The temperature dove like it's doing in these days. It got real cold, and I noticed that that mud puddle, it got a little skimming of ice over it. And then all at once it began to snow them big old snowflakes down like that right there. Oh, glory to God. You say, preacher, why are you so happy? Because in just a few minutes, you couldn't even tell it was a mud puddle. I'm telling you, the snow come down on it. I'm telling you, you couldn't see the muddy water anymore. It had frozen over on top, and God had snowed on it. I just thank God. You can't tell this morning my life's a mud puddle because He snowed in my life, and He forgave me of all my sin. Washed me white. See, there's a whole lot of people whitewashed. Devil don't mind you being whitewashed. He just don't want you to be washed white. Say amen. There is a difference. Old Brother Rightly Sallin said that years ago. Amen. I never have forgotten it. Amen. Devil don't mind people being whitewashed. He just don't want them to be washed white. I'm glad, thank God, that God's people, the purification properties of the snow. God said, and that old blood gets applied. Amen. It might have been a junkyard. It might have been a mud puddle. But I'm going to tell you, when He looks down from above, He don't see the junk. Glory to God. He don't see the mud. All He sees is the snow. Amen. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's washed us in that precious blood and made us whiter than the driven snow. Amen. Let me give you this. Is anybody having a good time besides me? I'm telling you, I'm excited. Amen. About the snow. I've studied this out a little bit. I want to go back and study it some more. But I just chew off a little bit here. This, we see the provider of the snow. I'm excited about who gives it to us. He knows what we need. He knows how much we need. I said, I wish it wasn't snow so much. Aren't you glad, thank God Almighty, aren't you glad the president's not in charge of the snow? He said, preacher, I wouldn't have said that. I did, and I ain't taking it back. And by the way, it wouldn't matter to me who's president. I'm glad he's not in charge of the snow. Amen. Man don't know how to do nothing but mess it up. God gets it just right every time. Amen. The purification properties and the purpose of the snow. Let me give you this, and this blessed me. The peculiarity, that's a hard word for me to say. Amen. And the only reason I know I spelled it right is because I sounded it out and I spelled it. And when I typed it, that thing I used on it didn't underline it. It's always underlined and tell me I ain't got it right yet. Amen. I try it again. Amen. Spell check. Well, I wish I'd have had one of them in school. Let me say amen right there. Wish I'd have had one of them. The teacher was my spell check, and I didn't get to do it over. Amen. After she marked it wrong. The peculiarity of the snow. Let me just say this to you. Everybody knows that there's no two snowflakes alike. Everybody knows that, right? I knew that. And if you didn't know that, I'm not saying you're not smart. I'm just saying I think about everybody knows that. They're peculiar. No two snowflakes are alike. Well, let me tell you this about people. They can be identical twins, can't they, Sister Peggy? And still not be exactly alike, ain't that right? Got different fingerprints. And I would dare say if we talked to Sister Peggy and her sister long enough, they'd be one food that one of them really loves and maybe the other one ain't too fond of it now. Maybe not, I don't know. But there'd be differences, amen, even in identical twins. And one of the things that goes wrong in the house of God is when a preacher or a teacher wants everybody to be just like him. Say amen. God made his youngins unique. Amen. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. And everybody has a different purpose and a different function in the body of Christ. But listen to me. Some things that I learned about this peculiarity. There are 16 different types of snowflakes. Did y'all know that? I didn't know that. You say, preacher, you're going to impress us? No, but I'm going to read you what I typed out here. They're simple prisms, stellar plates, sectored plates, stellar dendrites, fern-like stellar dendrites, hollow columns, needles, capped columns, double plates, split plates and stars, triangular crystals, 12-sided snowflakes, bullet rosettes, radiating dendrites, rimmed crystals, and last but not least, irregular crystals. When I read that, glory to God, I finally found out where I fit in the snowflake line. Amen. And guess what, Brother Gary? Most of the snowflakes are irregular crystals. Ain't God good? Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, hey, we're unique. And we might be a little irregular, but God can still use us for His glory. Amen. I feel sorry for anybody that wants everybody to be just like him. Amen. I tell you what I do want. I want all of us to be just like him. That ought to be what we're striving for. Amen. There's those irregular snowflakes. I tell you, I thank the Lord for this little phrase here in the Bible, the treasures of the snow. Let me give you something. I hope this will be a blessing to you. There's such a thing as artificial snow. How many knows what I'm talking about? You can go, Austin, have you ever been on a ski slope? Have you ever seen one of the machines? They've got a machine. Are you listening? That they can put water in. It's got a big fan on it. And they can blow those water crystals out of that fan. And out into that cold air, you can only make that artificial snow when it's cold. But you blow it out into that cold air and it freezes and falls and they can have a ski slope when otherwise they wouldn't have a ski slope. Because there's such a thing as artificial snow. Now, how many knows where this is going? You say, preacher, there's such a thing as artificial snow. That's right. It's white. Let me give you something. It has absolutely none, zero of the properties of the snow that falls from above. But you say, preacher, well, how can you tell whether it's artificial or not? Well, the only way a scientist would be able to tell is with a microscope. He could put it under a microscope and he could look at that and tell whether it was artificial snow or whether it was snow that fell from above that God gave. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand. What's the application here? Let me tell you something. The scientist cannot put your heart or my heart under a microscope and see whether or not what we have is real or artificial. But there's a God in heaven that knows this morning whether we're real or whether we're artificial. Knows whether we've been washed white or where we've been whitewashed. There's a God in heaven that knows. I'm not that judge and you aren't either. We judge ourselves. We can examine ourselves. And we should. But I'm telling you, there's such a thing as artificial snow. Snow, I wrote this down. Man cannot produce what God can. They can't do the real deal, but they can mimic it. How many believes everything that God's ever done that was good, man and the devil's tried to mimic it. They've tried to mimic it. It's called a counterfeit. Say amen. But God, Job said, have you entered in? Actually, God said it to Job. He said, Job, have you entered into the treasures of the snow? See, Job, in the book of Job, this conversation that goes on, he thinks he's pretty good and them other three fellas are really not helping him much. Amen. But when he comes face to face with God, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I repent. I hate myself. I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Amen. God came along where Job was. Snow is a treasure this afternoon, church, when it reminds us of where we came from. It reminds us of why we're here. It reminds us of how we became pure. And it reminds us of our uniqueness in His plan. When it does that, it's a treasure in our lives. Amen. But let me give you one more thing, and I'm finished today. This treasure. Hast thou entered into the treasure of the snow? We see the one who provides it. We see the purpose of the snow, the peculiarity of the snow, the purification of the snow. But let me give you this, and I believe it's perfect. I had no idea what the church property would look like when I got here. I had no idea what the roads would look like. We live kind of at the foot of a little mountain. And our road won't thaw all week. It's in the shade. It won't thaw all week. But I didn't know what would look like up here. But the last point in the message is the passing of the snow. Brother Brian, you mentioned this. You said you lived even a little further in the south. And your mom said something like, well, it may snow today, but it'll be gone tomorrow. And God spoke to my heart about the passing of the snow. I didn't know when we got out on Carter's Valley, there were just one or two little slick spots. We know where to watch for them. If you run up on a slick spot, that's not the time to hit the brakes. Hit the brakes before you get there or leave them brakes alone, amen, and let it roll. Don't get up on it and then hit the brakes. But the road was just practically dry. We even came Carter's Valley. I told my wife to start with us. I said, maybe we ought to hit 11W. We got out there and it looked pretty good. So I said, we're going on this way. She said, are you sure? Usually when she says something like that, it gets me in trouble. Amen. But God got us here. Amen. And you said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that yesterday, two different men from our church, Brother Gary and Brother David, he's working today, told me that Packing House Road was covered and that the parking lot was covered. Two different men told me that. How many knows it ain't that way today? Amen. You say, preacher, how does that apply to us? Guess what? Ain't none of us going to be here long. The Bible said life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while and then it vanishes away. Amen. You said, preacher, why would you want to be reminded of that? Here's why. The Bible says, teach us, Brother Randy, to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. We ain't got many days left, church. Amen. And whatever we've got left, we ought to let the snow remind us that our life here is passing. But thank God we've got a better place to go. Thank God He can use us while we're here. I don't want to be like another snowflake. I want to be the flake He made me. You like that, don't you? Say amen. Amen. I want to fulfill the purpose that God gave me for my life. And I want you to do the same. Have you considered, have you entered into the treasure of the snow. I didn't know, Brother Fred, until I studied, that 75%. Brother Grizzle, you mentioned to me the other day about the missionary, the mission field out there. And where you're talking about that Midwest out through there, where you could go hundreds of miles without a fundamental church preaching the gospel. I didn't know that 75% of their water came from snow. I can't name all the rivers. That's the Colorado River out there. There was the Columbia River out there. And there's about five or six of them. That's as good as I can do right now. Amen. I want a little bit of memory. I didn't know. I knew that the Rocky Mountains go through there. And I know that, when was it, Miss E? Where are you at, honey? Where were we at up there in Oregon? And it was in July. Was it not, honey? Mount Hood. Anybody ever heard of it? Amen. The Rock of Ages had a conference in Oregon, and we drove to Mount Hood. And in July, Brother Wayne, we had a snowball fight on Mount Hood. Amen. In July. I ought to know, but I didn't know that 75% of the water came from the snow. I'm going to tell you something right now. How many believe it's a little dry in Bloomingdale? How many believe God can use us to bring some moisture into the equation? Amen. Out of your river, Brother Larry, shall flow, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what the Word of God said. Amen. Oh, I want to just stop today and say, thank you, Lord, for the snow. I want to enter into the treasures of the snow. He gave it to us. How many knows our biggest snow is probably going to come a little later? Amen. Usually about the time you think, boy, we got it whooped. You get some of them 50 and 60 degree days, and then all of a sudden there's 2 foot, amen, of snow. But God knows what He's doing. Whether it's 2 inches or whether it's 2 foot, God knows what He's doing. I hope today that Pastor we'll never look at the snow the same way again. I hope you won't either. Amen. What would it do? I'd think we're nuts, Brother Fred, but what would it do if we just went outside and just said, thank you for that flake, and thank you for that flake, and thank you for that flake? That'd keep us busy for a little while. Amen. Just thanking God for the snow. I hope today that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I hope today that when He sees you, He sees you as worthy and not as you are. That's where that old mud puddle was. It was a mud puddle. Well, let me give you something else right here. How many's listening and I'm done? I couldn't stand it, Brother Larry. I couldn't stand it. When I got down, I actually shot a deer. When I got down, I went over where that mud puddle was. I couldn't stand it. And I went. How many knows what happened? I couldn't stand it. He said, preacher, why did you do that? I just wanted to know how frozen it was. But it was just a thin little crust. Guess what happened? Let me tell you something right now. The devil can't stand you and I being saved either. He's trying to step in it every time we turn around. Say amen. Reveal that mud. Say amen. And I'm going to tell you, our Lord's covered it by the blood of the Lamb. I know this, when it's somebody stirring in my past, it's never the Lord. It's always either me or old Slewfoot. Say amen. My Lord don't stir in it. My Lord don't break through that mud puddle again. It's white in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be here at Bible Way. God, I have really enjoyed the fellowship with your youngins today. God, I pray today, Lord, that, Lord, you would just bless the invitation. I pray, Lord, that someone today would have their sins. You said, come down, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God, I pray today that someone would enter into the treasures of the snow and know what it is, Lord, not to just be whitewashed, kind of outside like the Pharisees, outside of the plate and the platter was clean, but the inside was filthy. Like the old sepulchers, Lord, inside was full of dead men's bones. God, I pray today, Lord, that you'd take the message and honor it, encourage your people. God, I love your people. And I thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of the work here at Bible Way.